So we're going to have two talks in the session this afternoon that come from data from the Texas Teen Opportunity Project, or TTOP. And Howard's given us a few extra minutes at the beginning of this session to provide a brief introduction and overview of the methodology to this project before we move into the individual presentations. And this was a project that we conducted in Texas. It was a project joint between the Population Research Center and School of Social Work at the University of Texas at Austin and the Office of Decision Support at the Texas Department of State Health Services. And I'm Carrie White. So just to provide some background about what led up to the TTOP project, the teen birth rate in Texas declined between 1990 and 2006, but this decline has not been uniform across the three main racial ethnic groups in the state. The teen birth rate declined in the 16-year period by 31% for whites, 43% for African Americans, but only 11% for Latinos. In addition, there continues to be substantial variation in the racial ethnic, in birth rates across race ethnicity for teens age 15 to 19. So in 2006, the teen birth rate for whites was 32.6 births per thousand. It was 66.6 births per thousand for African Americans, and 91.8 births per thousand among Latino teens. So given this disparity in both the decline in the teen birth rate as well as the continued level of teen births in the state, what we wanted to understand with this project was whether Latinos hold different norms than African Americans or whites surrounding factors that put teens at risk for pregnancy. And specifically, we wanted to look at motivations for and against pregnancy during the teen years, communication about sex, attitudes towards contraception, and access to contraception. And the two talks this afternoon are going to look at motivations for and against pregnancy, which Christine Hopkins will be talking about in the second presentation in this session, and attitudes towards contraception, which I'll be talking about in just a minute. So to carry out this study, we conducted gender and race ethnicity specific focus groups in four major Texas cities: Houston, Dallas, Austin, and El Paso. We conducted 36 focus groups with young adults, and we stratified these focus groups first by age and gender. We conducted focus groups with 15 to 16-year-old young women, focus groups with 17 to 21-year-old young women, and 18 to 24-year-old young men. And then we further stratified these groups according to whether or not the youth had become a parent or not. So 18 focus groups with youth parents and 18 groups with youth who had not yet become parents. We also conducted 13 focus groups with parents of teens, separate groups for mothers and fathers of teens. And among our Latino parent groups, we further stratified these according to level of acculturation, which we operationalized as where participants completed their education. So low acculturated groups completed education outside the US, and more highly acculturated groups completed their education in the US. So we conducted 49 total focus groups across the state. We recruited our participants through community organizations that primarily served clients who fit the targeted demographic profile. So for example, in one city, we worked with the League of United Latin American Citizens to recruit participants for Latino focus groups. Our focus groups were facilitated by experienced moderators and lasted about 90 minutes. And following the group, the participants completed a short questionnaire and received $40 for attending the group. All of our focus groups were recorded, and the recordings from the focus groups were transcribed. So just to give you a picture of what our groups look like, you can see first that we conducted the same number of focus groups across the racial ethnic groups and the same number of groups across the age and gender strata among youth. But you also notice that we had some variation in the size of the focus groups. Some focus groups had more participants than others. And there were some differences across our youth participants. The Latino youth had somewhat lower levels of education. And also among our Latino youth, only 14% were born outside the US, 39% preferred speaking Spanish or reported no difference in the two languages, and 50% reported that at least one of their parents was born outside the U.S. For our parent groups, you see that we conducted a few more focus groups among our Latino parents. And again, this was due to our study design where we stratified by acculturation. So we wanted to have a few groups in the low and highly acculturated groups. And we also conducted a few more focus groups with mothers of teens and fathers of teens. And there were some differences among our parents of adolescents. The Latino parents were somewhat younger on average. The average age of their children was also somewhat younger, and they had lower levels of education. 55% of our Latino parents completed education in the U.S., which follows our stratification and our sampling design, and 53% reported that they preferred speaking Spanish or there was no difference between English and Spanish for them. So the first set of results that we're going to talk about this afternoon are attitudes towards contraceptive responsibility and the influence of gender and race ethnicity on adolescent contraceptive use. And again, I'm Carrie White, and I have no relationships to disclose. So what do we know about adolescent contraceptive use? Well, the good news about contraceptive use among adolescents is that overall it's pretty high. In the most recent cycle of the National Survey of Family Growth, 98% of adolescents reported that they had ever used a contraceptive method. So that's the good news. But the figures surrounding the use of contraception at first sex and at most recent intercourse is somewhat less promising. 22% of adolescents reported that they did not use the method at first sex, and 17% reported that they did not use the method at last intercourse. And there's also some racial ethnic variation among adolescents in terms of contraceptive use. Latino adolescents are less likely to use contraception at first sex and less likely to have used a hormonal method or condoms at last intercourse. So what might explain this racial ethnic variation? Well, research suggests that attitudes play an important role in influencing contraceptive use. For example, misperceptions about contraceptive methods may contribute to lower use, and concerns about method safety, particularly the safety of hormonal methods, have been found to be more common among Latinos. So that could be one possible explanation. In addition, attitudes about contraceptive decision-making and responsibility may also shape contraceptive use. And when both partners are involved in contraceptive decision-making, there tends to be a greater frequency and more consistent use of methods. And research among Latinos has found that this group often sees women as responsible for contraception. So this could be yet another explanation for the variation in contraceptive use across race and ethnicity. But unfortunately, there have been few studies that have examined racial ethnic differences in attitudes related to contraceptive responsibility and decision-making. So we can't really determine whether or not these attitudes do explain the differences observed in use. So using data from TTOP, we wanted to try to address this gap in our knowledge. And specifically, our objectives for this analysis were to answer the following three questions. What are adolescents' motivations for using contraception? How do these motivations relate to attitudes toward contraceptive responsibility? And how do these attitudes vary across adolescents' gender and race ethnicity? So for this analysis, we used data from the transcripts of the 36 focus groups with young men and young women, and we coded these transcripts in several stages. In the primary stage of coding, the transcripts from the focus group were coded by main question of the focus group guide. And the question that we rely on primarily for this analysis was, whose responsibility is it to use contraception? In the secondary stage of coding, the transcript segments were coded into themes that we identified in these main questions. And we used a set of a priori determined codes, such as men or women are responsible for contraception, as well as coded any emergent themes that we identified in the data. So transcript segments where youth discuss trust and self-control surrounding contraceptive use. And then finally, we compared the codes across gender and race ethnicity to identify whether some of these themes emerged predominantly in one kind of group versus another. So looking first at adolescents' motivations for using contraception, Not surprisingly, adolescents were motivated to use contraception to avoid undesired outcomes. When talking about responsibility for contraceptive use, our youth participants primarily emphasized wanting to avoid a pregnancy. But when they discussed consistent use of contraception, youth more often talked about wanting to avoid getting an STI from their partner. Maturity and self-control was another theme that emerged in our data. And youth talked about how using contraception meant that you were responsible, it meant that you were grown, or it was just a part of having sex. And because it was just a part of having sex, you should be able to exercise self-control and say no to sex if contraception isn't available. Youth also talked about how using contraception was a sign of respect for your partner. It meant that you were concerned about your partner's health and your partner's future goals. And couples established a commitment to use contraception and decided which method they would be most comfortable using. But there were other youth in our groups who, when they were talking about contraception, their motivations for use really seemed to be linked to their lack of trust in their partner. And they talked about using contraception because they didn't think their partner would share in the responsibilities of a pregnancy should one occur. They didn't think their partner would have a method or use a method or use that method correctly. And they were also concerned about getting STIs from their partner. And what we can see here is that these motivations are not mutually exclusive and that there's a large degree of overlap. And youth often talked about how multiple motivations affected contraceptive use. And we'll see these themes about motivation emerge as our youth participants talk about contraceptive responsibility. So one of the main themes that we found is that our youth participants said that both partners should be responsible for contraception. And they felt that responsibility should be shared for several reasons. First, because both partners are affected by the outcome of unprotected sex, as this young African-American man says. I mean, if she gets pregnant, then that's both your kid. It's going to be both your responsibility, so it's something that you guys are going to have to tackle together. And getting to this theme about maturity surrounding contraceptive use, another reason youth gave for both partners being responsible for contraception was that since both partners decide to enter into a sexual relationship, they should also decide on a method. If you're going to consent to have sex mutually, then you have to consent to be safe about it, as this young white woman says. We also found that respect for one's partner was a motivating factor behind shared responsibility. For example, having a sense of responsibility to each other and each other's life goals helps ensure a commitment to contraceptive use. As this young African-American man says, if they're not in their career and they're trying to get there and they really care about themselves, you need to take them birth control pills. Although many youth in our group said that both partners were responsible for contraception, their comments often conveyed mixed messages, as we can see in the two quotes here. First, in all fairness, it's both. It is. I never took responsibility for it, but it's both. And this young Latina woman says, I think it's both too, because it's almost, I don't know, it's just both of them. Because if you get pregnant, then they're going to be saying, oh, it's your fault for not using it. And it's both of them. And so what we see in these two quotes is that even though youth are talking about equal responsibility, this is really more of an ideal and not necessarily reflective of contraceptive use and practice in their relationships. We also found that some youth in our groups talked about equal responsibility, but their statements really seemed to be echoing those of other participants in the group, or they seemed to be saying equal responsibility because it was more socially acceptable. But their comments really conveyed something else, as we can see here from this young Latino man. Equal responsibility, but like what he said, a little bit more on the girl's side. They have to be more responsible. And so what we see coming through in these three quotes is that even though youth are talking about equal responsibility, it's one partner who's more responsible for contraception than another, and usually this falls on the women. And we found that women's responsibility for contraception was very common in our data. There were several reasons for this, and one of the main explanations was that a pregnancy has more obvious physical implications for women than it does for men. And this came up in our focus groups with both young men and young women, as we can see here. It's more her responsibility because she's the one getting pregnant, you know what I'm saying? And this young Latina woman says, but like the guy, if he gets you pregnant, he can take off. I mean, it doesn't hurt him. You're the one that's gonna get screwed with getting big and having the baby. And so what this young Latina woman quotes indicates is not only are women concerned about pregnancy, but they also don't think that their partner is gonna hang around and share in responsibilities after a birth. And while we found that this concern about pregnancy and women's responsibility came up in both our groups with young men and young women, it occurred more often in our groups with young women, and particularly young Latina women. A second reason for women's responsibility was that they were seen as having more self-control. And young men, on the other hand, are reckless, and they'll accept any opportunity to have sex, regardless of risk. And we can see that here in this young Latino man's quote. Most guys are like, they won't pass it up if they don't have a condom. Guys are naturally more reckless. Girls need to, you know, go out and protect themselves as far as that. And expanding on this idea, young women in our focus groups stated that they didn't think that their male partners could be trusted to be prepared with or committed to using condoms. As we can see in this young Latina woman's statement, some guys won't want to wear a condom, but if it's up to you and you know that sometimes guys aren't responsible, you have to take care of yourself. And taking care of yourself meant using a hormonal method, having your own condoms and insisting that those condoms be used, or being able to say no to sex if no contraception was available. And even though both young men and young women endorse the idea that women should be responsible for ensuring contraception is used, we found that some young women in our groups felt pressured by their partners to not use condoms. Because it also, you have pressure, like from the guys. Like they tell you, don't use a condom, it'll feel better. It's harder on you because people put pressure on you. And we found that this theme arose more often in our focus groups with African American young women and Latina young women than it did in our groups with young white women. We did find in some of our groups that youth thought that men did have primary responsibility for contraception. This came up much less often and was almost exclusively discussed in our focus groups with young men. And the reasons why young men saw themselves as being responsible for contraception is, for one, they were concerned about the financial and legal obligations of raising a child. And we can see that in this young white man's statement. I mean, it's my responsibility to make sure someone else doesn't get pregnant. Because what if someone's like, this is a good one, gotcha, you got a kid now, you're screwed, you're locked in, you either have to pay for the rest of your life or you're forced to be part of this kid's life. Another theme that we found in men's discussions of their responsibility was that they didn't trust their partner's method or trust that their partner would use the method correctly. And we can see that here in this African-American young man's statement. That birth control thing ain't always that, you know? People can say that they're on birth control, show you the pills, but it don't mean they're taking them. And what we see in these two quotes here is that young men were suspicious of their female partners and didn't trust that their partners were trying to prevent pregnancy and may actually be trying to trap them with a pregnancy. So what we take away from these results is that youth's attitudes and norms surrounding contraceptive responsibility are closely intertwined with their motivations for using contraception. Who is responsible for contraception hinges on the perceptions of who shoulders the majority of the burdens following an unplanned pregnancy. For women, they felt that this responsibility would largely fall on them. However, in our groups with young men, they seemed quite aware of and concerned about their financial and legal responsibilities of a pregnancy. So this indicates some disconnect between the two genders. In addition, we also found that the constellation of motivations underlying responsibility were different for young women and young men. For young women, not only were they concerned about preventing pregnancy, but they were also motivated to use contraception by a lack of trust in their partner, as well as these ideas of maturity and self-control. But for young men, their motivations for avoiding pregnancy largely overlapped with only their lack of trust in their partner. As I noted along the way, we observed some racial ethnic differences in attitudes influencing contraceptive responsibility, but these were not noted across all themes. But just to reiterate them briefly here, Latina young women more often linked their responsibility to the fact that pregnancy has greater physical implications for women. The discussion of financial and legal obligations following pregnancy, we found that to be mentioned less frequently in our groups with young Latino men. And feeling pressured by partners not to use condoms was more common in our groups with African American and Latina women than it was in our groups with young white women. So in conclusion, the racial and ethnic differences that we identified likely do not explain variation in contraceptive use that's observed. Instead, these differences may be due to a combination of factors, such as differences in a variety of attitudes, as well as barriers to accessing methods and adolescents' future goal orientation, which Christine will be talking about here in a few minutes. And our findings also suggest that all youth would likely benefit from education and skill development in areas such as establishing healthy sexual relationships and contraceptive negotiation and contraceptive self-efficacy.